Hello and welcome to the Even Me podcast. This is More Speaks.
And your girl, Kim.
All right. And today on podcast 39, we are discussing when does love turn into conditional love? So since we talked about unconditional love before, go ahead, Kim, lead us into this conditional love.
So conditional love. We always talked about unconditional love, right? So like I'm gonna just say something came up that happened to somebody that I know. this couple been married for well over 13, 15 years. It seemed pretty picture and love and everything else, but that's not the case. So when it becomes conditional is when you and the person become sick, right? When they're sick, that's when you show your true unconditional love. Well, anyway, and the reason why I came up with it, because people have that 80% that they're supposed to have, and they go looking for that 20. Maybe that 20 has, you know, an exciting time or a picture. It seems like they're exciting. Or maybe the physical appearance are a little bit better than the 80, you know, and different things like that. So they go to that 20% because it looks on the outside. It looks great, right? But what happens versus that 80? Yeah, they've been there. They you know, thick and thin. Yeah, have some ups and downs, some problems. Like, you know, I've heard from many married couples who've been married before that it's not love. Marriage is not marriage, or relationship is not relationship if you don't sacrifice something, if you don't go through nothing, if you don't change yourself to be with this person, things gonna change. And people don't see that when they're out here looking for that other 20 that the 80 doesn't have, and they get into this relationship or thinking it's all glory until you end up getting sick,
until
you end up getting sick, or your money, you lose your money, you lose your career or whatever. Is that 20% gonna be there? The 80, you know, the 80 has been there, is there. They just don't have the exciting time and want to travel all over the world, do it, all this little stuff. Yeah, sometimes you have to give in to your partner and what they want to do. But because I don't have the big ass, which is fake these days, you know, or I don't probably, what, you know, wearing the tight clothes, or I'm not wearing Louis Vuitton all the time. All that kind of stuff, that does not make up who I am within or what I would do as a mate. You know, that doesn't make the mate, because things come and go. And God said it in the beginning of time, Moses' time, you don't idolize false gods, which gold or whatever. And people do that to this day. But this couple don't, you know, want to say their name or whatever. The person gets sick and end up having a stroke, and they've been married all these years and end up the other mate end up dumping them off on their family and saying that's not what they signed up for. But when you walk down that aisle, that $7,000 dress and that, you know, $6,000 ring, when you walk down that aisle, you said in front of the people that was there and God and the minister that you would be there for through sickness and health. But I learned something new today, that you can just dump your mate off and move on with your life like that, because someone gets sick. That's life. You know, we hear, we get sick.
Do you feel that conditional love or unconditional love, can you like fall out of love, and then the conditional, unconditional love turns into conditional love?
I think it's all about a growing process, right? Because yeah, I'm not going to lie. There's times you're not going to like that person at times, but you love that person. You just don't like them at that time. And falling out of love, if I was just in love with you and all over you a month prior to this happening, what happened? You know what? What happened? Because you can't give me what you used to give me? That's what really happened. I think people need to talk and communicate. And I get told a lot. I talk a lot. I like clarity. If you just give me an inkling of clarity, we good. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's the thing. It's just about communication. Communicating. You know, some people think they fall out of love. And that can happen. I ain't gonna even lie and say it doesn't. Because what if you striving for something and the other one is not trying to grow with you? Yeah, that becomes you can't pull this ton of weight around with you for the rest of your life. Hey, I'm trying to elevate. You're not. I'm not trying to get the bins and all that, but I'm trying to move into something, but you want to hang around with the same people. We need to evaluate. We need to have that discussion with each other. I'm not going to say I'm just going to, you know, fall out of love with you. That's not the condition that I came in here with. We came for better or worse. Now, if you want to be in worse, then I'm going to let you be in worse, but we're going to have a discussion about it first. But I wouldn't leave anybody because they're sick, you know? That's being there for that person when they, I don't care about the money and stuff that comes and goes, but when you marry somebody, it's the better and worse for me is you're healthy one day and you can be sick tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
the tables can turn on you. You did this person like that. Eventually, your turn gonna come. And what if that next person that you're dealing with do you like that? You know what I'm saying? Everything comes. It may not come the same way you did it, but it's going to come.
Yeah, I feel that. I know we were just talking about marriage and all that. I feel that the piece of paper doesn't make a difference.
Yes.
I think a person being sick, you took a vow that, you know, even if you were sick or if you wasn't sick or, you know, you became poor or something like that. I feel that in that case, you should still.
That's the one they brought up along with.
Yes.
Good. And then did they bring yours?
No.
I got it.
Yeah.
So it should be unconditional. And I mean, till the end, I feel that because I just heard some vows, you know, because I just went to a wedding, last week or 2 weeks ago. And, you know, and it says, you know, sickness and health, you know, poverty and, you know, and all that, you know, and I feel like the piece of paper doesn't, just because you get married doesn't mean it doesn't make a difference, even if you with someone for a long period of time. But in this situation, they've been together for a while, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not like they just got married and he or she says, oh man, you know what? We haven't even been together long enough to say that, you know, I love you or I can't easily fall out of love. You know, they've been together for years. So I think that there's some underlying cause that I guess maybe they were already on the rocks and they were showing a facade, you know, of togetherness. And this was like the straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, I'm just kind of play devil's advocate here, but I'm thinking that something else there's an underlying cause that, you know, just basically had, you know, he or she basically say, well, I can't deal with this. You're sick. Drop you off at your family's house. You know, because it's crazy because you brought this topic up. And I was just talking to a friend, you know, in my little monkey game, you know, and you know, we play with real people. This lady, she's 40 something years old. And she basically told me that, you know, she told everybody a normal story that she's going on vacation. But to me, you know, since I'm one of the leaders, she kind of explained, you know, why she's doing it. And she kind of basically said that her marriage is on the rocks. And this is like the last straw. They went to counseling. They did a whole bunch of stuff. She's taking 2 weeks off from the game, 2 weeks off from everything, and spending 2 weeks with her husband to try to rekindle the love and see what's going to happen. Now, she basically said in 2 weeks, if this doesn't work out, then they're basically going to call it quits. So yeah. I think that's good. I think that's, to me, that's still unconditional love, because she's trying, he's trying, they're trying, they're taking a vacation to see, you know, what can they do. And I told her maybe it's the game, because I know with me and my significant other, she says I play the game too much, you know, and then I got a podcast, and then I do this, and then I do that, and then I do online gaming. So it's like, I mean, I understand that this, you know, this game and other things, you know, can cause like, you know, friction in the marriage. So I'm thinking that maybe that's that, you know. So she was like, yeah, I'm going to just stay away from the game for 2 weeks and see if, you know, if that's what it is. But she basically told me that's the reason why she got to the game, because playing the game, you know, gave her people to talk to, you know, since her husband wasn't talking to her, right? So I think sometimes we do fall out of love and then look for something to tie it back together, or make, I guess, pass the time, you know. In that case, with your people, you know, I think that there's something there. Something else is there that caused this, you know. Granted, you know, she's going to have to take care of him, so she maybe feels that she can't handle it, you know. And maybe that's a good thing, and maybe it's a bad thing, because, you know, what if she's one of these people that, you know, could, you know, handle him bad, you know, this point, because, you know, she doesn't want to deal with him.
Well, this is the thing that gets me, you know. They and I'm going back to when I was pregnant with my last two. I remember each time they come to you when you're like in your second trimester, the beginning of your second trimester, and they said, okay, we do tests, and if something come back, do you want to abort? You know, they ask you these questions. If anything come back on the test, do you want to go through the pregnancy or whatever? And, you know, I didn't have a second thought to know I want to terminate. You know what I'm saying? If it was medically necessary that I had to, it's a difference, right? But it was never a thought in my mind that if my child came back with Down syndrome or something like that, do I want to terminate my pregnancy? That's my child. I'm a loving regardless. That's what I signed up when I laid here, you know, laid there to make them. So I take it as the same thing that, yeah, it could be difficult, right? But I think in many people ways that they, like, I can't stand to see somebody puke. I can't stand to see that. I mean, the baby up to they 2 years old, I'm good. But after that, I cannot stand it. But I know if you really love somebody, you're going to try to work. You're going to try to figure out. Like my son, he had open heart surgery. I wasn't made for the medical field. I get squeamish at blood. But when he had open heart surgery at 5 months, it took everything out of me to learn to take care of him. And I did. Took care of him, took the dressing and cleaned him up healthy and everything. Yes, I shed tears the first couple of days because I had to do it and had to, you know, build up my, you know, the gusto to do it. But I think that to me, just me, you know, I'm gonna be negative Betty. She'd seen that he couldn't provide her with what she was used to, right? So if I'm showing everybody on Facebook and social media, oh, I'm in the Cayman Islands and, you know, I'm driving this and I'm buying that, or, you know, this new bag I have, then that's the issue. That's the issue. So, you know, so that's what I see the problem was, because you Think about it. If somebody actually, or you can put it in a chair over there. Thank you. But if I'm with somebody and I say I love that person, just because something happens that causes them not to be able to give me the lifestyle that I'm used to or I'm accustomed to, doesn't mean anything. No. Yeah, and so he gonna leave that there. He gonna leave that there. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So I wouldn't, because then that means I have to step up. That's what the better or worse is for, right? You know, I have to step up. So to me, I feel like that's the reason she did that. And then, you know, you start ignoring, you know, you leave this to another elderly person to try to take care of when he was on his up and up. You loved him to death and everything. And true, people go through stuff like your friend or whatever is the person who played the games, and they may be having issues. That's something deeper. It may be that he's tired of her, and we don't always tell our side of the story. We just tell what we want people to hear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not the best side of the story to make it seem like it's not you.
There you go. Never, you know, oh, well, I did this. And that's the thing that me and my ex talked about. It's a cause and effect to each everything. You know, you say I did this. You're okay. Why did I do it? That's what we have to sit there and think. What made me say, okay, I'm done? You wasn't communicating. You wasn't doing what you were supposed to be doing anymore. So yes, I'm trying to pull something out of you. But then also, was it me? Did you try to talk to me and see that where I was trying to grow and try to move, you know, with school and career? You didn't. You know what I'm saying? So it was a combination of things. I can admit my faults. I don't think he'll ever 100% admit to his faults. But people, you get tired. I ain't gonna lie. You get tired of the significant other at times. Like, I think if I deal with a guy that's playing a game, I think I can deal with that to a certain extent because I know where he's at all times. But when it comes down to my time, and this is what a lot of men don't understand, that one, at that particular time, that woman wants to feel special. And I just had to say that just earlier this week. At that particular time, no matter what you're doing, that woman wants to feel special, even if it's for an hour, 2 hours. That's it. Then you can go back to your regular life. And that's what a lot of men forget. And then we do forget about men too. You know, hey, I'm doing all this because just a happy wife is not a happy life. Because if the man ain't happy, then you just happy. That's going to be an issue. So I think there's a lot of everything in the world today is fake. Everything that everybody look at, oh, because we having problems and we're not like, you know, the Joneses over here on Instagram or TV. It's never going to be that. It's never. Our DNA, we didn't come out to say we 100% matches this person. It has to be a yin and a yang. That has to be a strong one. That has to be a passive one. There, and they come together, and that what makes them two. But, you know, it's just today's world. That's what we're living in. I mean, well, we're living in Revelation right now. So basically,
yeah. So just listening to what you say, and I think not only are we living this facade, and we're living, you know, the social media world, and I think that puts stress on a lot of the relationship, on a lot of, you know, partners, because they see this other person that's going to Bali, that's going to Maui, that's that got a Louis or this and that, right? And then their significant other, you know, feels like, okay, you know, we don't need all that to be in love, you know, and they maybe don't see that, right? You know, case in point, you know, you're talking about, you know, maybe she feels like her world is being turned upside down because she's not going to get what she had, right? Or do what she was doing or go where she was going. Case in point is, I don't know if you heard, so, you know, what's this guy from Yellowstone, the main character?
I don't know.
Don't watch it.
No. I watched it a
Kevin Costner.
Okay.
So Kevin Costner is the main character. Mm-hmm. They basically, I don't know if they put it completely on hold or what, but you know, this Yellowstone, we're like 5-6 seasons in, right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, him and his wife are getting divorced, and she's like trying to fight for custody, but you know, he makes most of the money. She don't even work, or I don't even know what she does. And they were going back and forth and back and forth, and she's asking for all this money because he's making millions of dollars, you know, on this, because they didn't did Yellowstone, and then that went to a prequel of 1823, and then another prequel of 1932, you know, and that it all leads to, you know, how the Yellowstone Ranch came about, and you know, ranch hands, and you know, all the slick stuff that they do, right? And you know, he's making caboodles of money. Well, she took him to court because for what do you call it, alimony or support. I think it's like, I don't know the exact numbers. Let's just throw a number out there, $300,000 a month, right? And $300,000 a month because, or maybe it's $190,000 a month that she wants, because she doesn't want her kids to live a normal lifestyle. They have to keep going to the private school. They have to do this. They have to do that. They have to be in a Mercedes, you know, G-Wagon, being dropped off. And the private school is expensive as hell. The clothing and this and that. And you know, she threw all this stuff out there. And the judge basically sided with him, and it was like, no, well, you don't make the money. You know, he makes the money. He's going to give you what's owed to you, you know, and that's what you're going to get. So I can't remember what the final determination was, but it was way less than what she was asking for. You know, and she had to like basically, because she wasn't like really taking care of the kids. There was like babysitters for each kid. You know, a person cooking, you know, 3 or 4 meals a day for the kids. And, you know, it wasn't like she was doing it. You know, she wasn't the one that was like providing. She was basically living the lifestyle, sitting at the pool while people were taking care of the kids. So it was like, I get it, you know, and that kind of ties into your story. It's like, if she's not going to get the lifestyle that she was getting, you know, then she may be, you know, acting this way because now she knows for sure that, hey, you know, if he dies or if he can't work like he was, she feels like, okay, I'm not gonna be able to provide, or I'm not gonna, you know, do this, do that, because, you know, she don't work or whatever. So I think, you know, in this case, I feel like, yes, there's something else there, but she needs to step down or, you know, do what she's supposed to and what she agreed to when she decided to marry him, right? Basically take care of him. You know, that's what you're there for. You know, if I know if Janelle was to get sick, I would take care of her somewhat, you know. I wouldn't go dump her at her family's house or something like that. You know, they would expect me to, you know, take care of her. And I expect her to take care of me, you know, so vice versa, you know, until we, you know, die, or you know, go to the tomb, or you know, or whatever happens, you know to the end.
Yeah, and my thing of it is there's nurses, CNA nurses that you can hire to help that really doesn't charge a lot. A lot of CNA doesn't charge a lot. I don't want to say that I'm never going to say I'm better than anyone else ever. You know, I have my flaws and my mistakes I make and whatever. But if I truly, genuinely, and that's anybody who knows me, if I care about you, I would never want to leave somebody in a predicament where I was there when they was good, I was there when they was providing, and now that they can't, that I'm not there, you know, I'm not there for them. I think I owe that person even more so, being that they provided me with a lifestyle for the time being that they did. You know what I'm saying? I believe that that's owed to that person. And we look at a lot of times you see people get married because it's fun. I ain't gonna lie, you know, getting engaged is cute. And then the idea of, you know, getting married and, you know, all that is fun. But you have to check yourself because you want to do it because everybody's doing it just to wear a ring or whatever. But you have to look at all the factors.
The clicks and the likes on Instagram and you know, yeah, I want everybody to see how good I have it, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But you don't know. I mean, you don't know how to handle the rest of it, you know, taking care of your man, taking care of your woman, doing what's necessary, you know, and living up to this vow that you said mm-hmm. in the beginning, you know, I'm going to take care of you no matter what. No, I'll just go drop you off at your people's house and let them deal with you.
That's crazy. And then it's in order to love somebody, I don't care if I'm not like if we starting off and I say I love you, that's true love. Now, you know, I may not be in love with you because it has to grow to that, but I love you. You know, for me to ever say those words, I would never want to see you hurt. Now, I may never talk to you or get away from you or move around, but I would never want to see you hurt. I never want to see you do bad. I just don't want to see nothing. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to even be, I
don't want to see you at all.
That's it. If we, you know, but I just, to me, it's just like, I used to think that I had to compete or I had to do certain things because of social media. And it is a drug, you know. Oh, it says that you're somebody if you're driving this car, if you're making this amount of money, if you walking around with this and that and that and that. No, I'm good on the sidewalk. I don't need to be out here trying to keep up with everybody who's out here doing this stuff. Because first of all, when I do come down to a point of time when I'd have to retire, I want to have something that I can retire to. You know, if I'm over here paying Gucci and Louis Vuitton prices for stuff, what am I going to have for when I make 65, 70? Because I still have to work. Look at the government, you know, so I'll still be working at 90. If, you know, I'm still here because of how the government is. But at least if I have a nest egg put aside that I'm not trying to compete or just because somebody like this, I'm not trying to compete with that. Okay, if you like that, go be there. Let's see how that's going to work for you. That hurt my heart today to hear that somebody can, you know, say they love you in your face and soon as something happened, even if it pisses them off or whatever it is, they can say, I don't want you anymore. I don't want to be around you anymore. I just want to see you do bad. I want to hurt you. I can't be that person. I cannot. And there's been many incidents. I should have been that person. You know what I'm saying? To other people. But I want my blessings in the end. I have to answer to God. They don't. I want to answer to, yeah, you crazy, Kim, when God see me. Yeah, you was crazy. You was a little crazy, but you didn't try to do people wrong. You didn't try to, you know, harm people or mistreat people.
Kim.
Yeah, I got a little screwed sometimes. Now, that's if you go over there where them screws are squeaking it. They're not fully oiled. And you keep, you know, pushing and touching them and stuff like that. Yeah, they gonna come loose. You know, you gotta let them screws stick in there till you can put some oil on there. Just tighten it up. What?
Go get a drill and go tighten them things.
No, see, if you're not a handyman, don't try to. You know, if you're not a handyman and you don't know how to use a drill, so leave it alone. You know, leave it alone till God oils it and get it right. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. And I do try to warn people before. I'm like, you don't want to go there because, you know, poof, some shit can happen. But trying to, you know, keep her together. But no, it's just like, It's just like, you just don't imagine that, that you see it on TV, right? You see it on the, you know, Lifetime movies, but not this close. And I don't know if God wants me to see this, that is so close to me, that I was just like, oh my God, that's what I wanted to talk about right there. Like, when does love become conditional? And I see any given moment, love will become conditional to the person who's giving it out to you.
You never know.
Never know. So marriage to me, now I kind of understand you. You know, marriage is a piece of paper.
I mean, it's just a piece of paper that binds you together. It's the actual vows and what you say and what you do during the marriage. Mm-hmm. It's what holds it together. It's what makes it an actual marriage, not the paper. The paper is just a legal binding document that says, hey, I love you, you love me, we're together. Mm-hmm. And in the end, we're going to split everything. That's basically, you know, to me, that's what it is. Now, does that mean, you know, the love is any less or any more? It shouldn't. You know, it whether you have that document or not, you know, if you love this person, you love this person. And if, like I said, regardless of that paper, you know, you should be able to love them till the end, you know, and not go drop them off like, you know, dirty clothes or something at someone else's doorstep.
Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, yeah, that's it. I mean, it's like, I feel like, you know, the movie, I forgot the guy, Val Kilmer's, isn't that Val Kilmer brother, or is it Val Kilmer? Whatever. Anyway, the guy that plays the Joker, right? The Joker movie. The good Joker movie. The last one that came out, the guy. The crazy Joker. But you won't have to watch it. You know, it's the Joker movie. And I like how, and if I can't quote it per se word for word, but he was like, people ask what happened to you to make you this way. People don't say what somebody done to you, what was done to you to make you act this way. I feel like even
the Joker that's dancing on the stairs,
that's him. Yes,
that's not Val Kilmer,
but his brother was a singer, or you know, that died of an overdose,
something like that. But yeah, you're talking about the guy from Gladiator.
Yes. So I feel like even a Joker could be loved. You know what I'm saying? Even with all his craziness, all he wanted was love. People are putting, you know, if I don't drive this, if I don't, you know, have a big ass that's going to kill me in 15 to 20 years or whatever, they put these stipulations on you. But do you look at the love, the genuine deep down past all this stuff? People don't look past the stuff, right? And know what they're getting themselves into. You gotta look at past it. So if I'm always talking about, let's go to here and spend money, I need this, all this kind of stuff, there's something wrong. There's no genuine love right there that person gonna have for me when the money run out. What if everything wiped away and we don't have anything, or I get sick, you get sick? How is that gonna go? You know what I'm saying? So we have to always in the back of our mind understand that love can turn into conditional love in any waking moment. You can be with this person, I guess, 20 to 50 years, and it can be conditional. So,
is that your final thought right there?
That's my final thought, because it's just, and then at the end, the person died. He ended up dying.
For real?
Yes.
Man, why you leave the sad part for the end?
You know, I'm just saying love can become conditional at any working moment.
This has been the Even Me Podcast with More Speaks.
And your girl, Kim.
And if you have any questions about any of these podcasts, like I said, we're still updating on Instagram. One day it'll be updated, so...
You know, I'm working on that. Okay. I got you.
To cut you off as soon as you say that.
They did. Yeah.
All right. Well, y'all take it easy.
Have a good one.